I'd ask that you turn in your Bible to Acts chapter 2. We are moving into a new series called Moved by the Spirit. Who here knows that God's Spirit, His Holy Spirit, is alive and active today? He didn't cease, as some come to think. He is alive and active and working in us and through us if we open the door to let Him work. Who says, God, my door is open? Now, this is important. I think this is important. Because, see, so often we come into churches and we're like, you know, I don't know. I don't know about this work of the Holy Spirit. I don't know what happens if I allow Him to come into my life. Because we have this one issue called control. I like to be in control. Who here says, Pastor, I'm a control freak? I'm a control freak up in here. All right. You want to know the awesome thing about walking with the Holy Spirit? You know, we hear about demonic possession and what it means for demons to take over a person's body. Here's the awesome thing about God. God has chosen to walk in partnership with you. Everyone here say partnership. And He has allowed, He has brought His Holy Spirit to fill us up with His presence, to give us gifts. And here's the awesome thing about God. God walks in that partnership with us. If you want control, you can have it. But you know what? When the Holy Spirit comes in, it's like, God, I'm surrendering my control over to You. Because every time I am in and of Your presence and You are upon me and I can feel Your anointing, God, take over. See, I can choose in my flesh if I want to say, nope, don't want anything to do with that. And you know what? The Spirit of God is a gentleman, and He's like, fine. Yeah, I'll go minister over here. But I believe if believers would surrender unto God, this world would be reached for His kingdom. It'd come into completion. See, Jesus taught us, he says that when you go, you're to go out in power. And He instructed His disciples, He said, wait here until the Holy Spirit comes. And, you know, I'm not here today to talk about the infilling. I'm here to talk about what happened after the day of Pentecost. And I want you to hear this because I want you to sear it to your heart, because every time we talk about the infilling of the Holy Spirit, we think about what happened exactly on the day of Pentecost. But I think it's almost equally as important to talk about what happened after, because it was the earmarks of revival. And when the Holy Spirit pours out, when truly pours out in revival, you are going to see things that take place. And one of the first places we see it is when Peter is moved to speak. And I don't know if you have ever felt moved to speak before and say something where we feel like we need to have a particular voice, or think we need to be an eloquent speaker, or think that we need to have everything fully written and prepared. But on the day of Pentecost, the Spirit of God fell upon everyone in the upper room, and they began to speak in tongues. And after that took place, Peter, full of the Spirit, went out and spoke to a multitude of people. We don't know the exact number of this crowd, but we know the scripture records that 3,000 that day gave their life to Christ. Now, when I've been moved to speak, God has used me to be used in the prophetic many times, and I want to be clear on what prophecy is. Because many times we hear that word prophet, and we think that if you were here a little over a year and a half ago, we had a prophet that he now has MS, he can't leave his home, and he was on Zoom, and there was a camera pointed to the crowd, and he had words of prophecy or a word of knowledge that he spoke over people, and often we think that is what a prophet is. Or we think of maybe Jonah going to Nineveh, telling them God is going to destroy them unless they repent. which is a form of prophecy. But simply put, prophecy is a message from God. That message is foretelling or forthtelling about what God is doing or what God will do. And here's the thing about prophecy, it should always line up with what God's word, the Bible, says. Amen? It should always line up with this. So prophecy can be spoken for a group of people or it can be spoken for an individual. And there are times that God impresses upon my spirit, it is time to speak out, and this is what I want you to speak out. And here's the thing, I believe that in this room are prophets and prophetesses. Amen? And what is holding us back is not following this urging, this inkling for the Holy Spirit to use us and to speak out in our prophetic voice of the message that He is giving us to speak. Who's ready to run out of the room? Okay, good. You're not. God gave me a prophetic word back in January of 2024, and I'm going to be honest with you. God hasn't always used me in the prophetic, and so it's happened a number of times where when God says something, I'm like, are you sure, God? Are you sure you want me to do that? And I was on the move trip in Thailand, and but before that trip, you might remember here at the church, God may gave me a prophetic word for the church where He said, prodigal sons and daughters are going to be returning home. And within those 4 months, we started seeing prodigal sons and daughters coming to their church and giving their lives to Christ. During worship, we weren't even doing an altar call or a call for salvation, and people were giving their lives over to God. And then on the move trip, I'm in Thailand with 63 guys, and God gives me a word of knowledge for someone in the group. And I got no response that day. And I'm just like, Lord, did I miss something? The trip ends, I go home, and about a month later, I get an email from a guy that says, hey, that night that you gave a word, said that was for me. And I want to tell you what's going on. And he started to lay it out. And I thought, God, you are so faithful. And here's what I learned, because I left that moment a little discouraged. Like, God, did I miss something here? But this takes place when just His children, His obedient children, take that bold step in following out the Lord's prompting. And today in Scripture, we're about to see Peter do that. And so today you're going to see three steps in Peter following the Lord's prompting to speak. You're going to see it in he stands up, he proclaims, he makes proclamation, and then he gives an invite. And so our base study today is going to be out of Acts chapter 2, 14, almost all the way to the end. And first I want to talk about God's people needing to stand up. Who says amen? God's people need to stand up, and we need to stand up in the Spirit's power. You know what? If I stand up on my own authority, I'm dead to ruins. But if I stand up in the Spirit of God, I have all the confidence and authority I need. And it's not resting upon me. It's resting upon God. Now, some people, when they sense that God is doing something, there's several words that I've heard recently used in the Spirit's prompting. Maybe it's premonition. I've heard that. Maybe an inkling. Or there was a push from the Spirit, or He is just calling you out, activating you. All I know is that Peter was compelled to speak. He was compelled by the Spirit to speak, and that was a prompting right after the outpouring. And so we're going to read Acts chapter 2, 14 through 15. Again, who loves God's word? I want to challenge you, and I want to challenge you in a healthy way before we read this. We have purchased Bibles. Now, they're in New Living Translation. I'm preaching out of English Standard Version today. I apologize for that. Not really. I mean, I chose that. But if you do not have a Bible, take it. Take it. It's for you. I think it is so critical. There is something about having paper right in front of me. You know, God bless that I can have my Bible on my phone. There's times I've needed it, times I've used it. But it's also just one of about 200 apps that I have on my phone. But this is tried and true. If I take this with me, and I can mark in it, and sometimes God prompts me, hey, I was doing something in you the other day, and I can start thumbing through and like, okay, there it is. Get a Bible. Say all that to say, get a Bible. Acts 2, 14 through 15, and I need to fly through this, praise God. It says, but Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them. Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these people are not drunk, as you suppose the outpouring of the Spirit just happened, since it is only the third hour of the day. They believed it was around 9 o'clock, 9 a.m. Okay. And Peter goes on to quote the prophet Joel. And it's from Joel 2, 28 through 32, and we're going to start reading at verse 17. It says, and in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy, and I will show wonders in the heavens above. And signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, and the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Church, we're in that season. We're in that season. I want to pray. Father God, I just thank you for your word. And Lord, I pray that God, you will make my message today clear to hearts and minds. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I got a question for you this morning, and I really want you to consider this. I really want you to think. Do you love the word of the Lord enough? Let's start with that question. Do you love the word of the Lord enough? Okay, now, let's finish that question. Do you love the word of the Lord enough that if the Holy Spirit prompted you to speak out today, that you could quote the scriptures by memory? Secondly, do you trust God enough to be used to speak out? See, here's the thing. In this church, I don't want just people that it's like, man, I love coming here on Sundays and Wednesdays. The Spirit of God is here. It feels good, and I always take something with me. Man, I don't want people to just take something with them. I want people assembled and ready to go out and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I want true disciples. And as a church, if we're going to be making disciples, that means that anything you hear within the realm of this service, you are to be equipped enough to take that to the people that you're meeting in the world. Are you hearing me? Because we want to model what Jesus did, and what Jesus did was he would equip his disciples, and then they would be sent out to do the work. They would go out and do the work. And we as the body of Christ, we need to be going out into this world and doing the work. And here's the thing about Peter in this message that he gives. He didn't just write out this message, rehearse it, and say, okay, I guess it's time for me to speak. And he gets up in front, and everyone is just waiting for him to speak. That didn't happen. The Holy Spirit poured out upon him. It poured upon this group that was in this upper room, and Peter spoke out of the overflow of what the Holy Spirit was doing. He was stepping into an arena where he'd observed Jesus preach to crowds time and time and time again. But after the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, all this was new, uncharted waters. Peter didn't know what to do. But his standing up in confidence that day wasn't a confidence in his ability. It was a confidence in God's ability. And eventually, you and I, what we need to do is we have to respond to what the Holy Spirit is doing inside of us. There has to be this outward response to this inward work. It's not a gift or a feeling that is meant to be kept inside. And so I have a rhetorical question for you. Is God calling you to stand up? Listen to John 16, 13 through 15. It says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority. But whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. So how we read this is we read this that the Spirit is going to do this, which he is, but God accomplishes his will through us. So it's by the Spirit's leading and guiding and speaking to us that he is going to use us to deliver this message to his people. Philippians 2:13, I want you to listen to this. It says, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Does that say that you can sit on the sidelines and God's Spirit is going to go out and do the work and you just stand back and observe? No. Philippians 2:13, for it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Listen to Jesus. You guys should know this. I'm sure you do. Matthew 28, 19 through 20. Jesus says, go therefore and make disciples. What's that word again? Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. See, we use the term stand up, and it's equal to the action Jesus gives us to go. It's the same. It's the same phraseology. We have the same meaning behind it. And so we as a church, I've already said this, I'm going to say it again, we need to be disciple makers, which means we ourselves are disciples. Amen? So our life is marked by being a follower of Christ and making followers. Is it? Is it? We need the Holy Spirit, and we need to respond when the Spirit is prompting us. And I know when you do it for the first time, you're like, oh, I don't know. This seems scary. You know what? But when you do, and God shows he hasn't set you up for failure. He has set you up for success and his good will and purpose. You're going to see that God is using you. The second thing I noticed Peter did was he proclaimed. And he proclaimed the gospel, and he did it with clarity. So Peter, here he is, rising to this response to the Holy Spirit, and it caused him to proclaim the gospel. And I want you to listen to Acts 2, 22 through 24. It says, men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. This Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, You crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, losing the pangs of death because it was not possible for him to be held by it. You know, Peter goes on in this gospel message that he is giving the people in this crowd, and he speaks the prophetic words of David about Jesus. And he confirmed the fulfillment of that prophecy. And speaking about David and the fulfillment, this is what he said in Acts 2, 30 through 36. Guys, I'm setting this up, and this is important. Being therefore a prophet and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on his throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of the Christ. This is David he's referring to. That he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God and having received from the Father that promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you've crucified. I can only imagine that this message in a public forum today would be considered hate speech. Right? But this is worth writing down as you're weighing whether or not you should speak out. True love is giving people the truth. That's true love. And people, it's so natural to us, we reject the truth, and we have been warned by Christ this would happen. But Peter, what he did was he made the gospel so clear. He proclaimed that Jesus was the Christ, proclaimed his death and resurrection, and recognized people's sin and weakness that requires our need for him. Aren't you thankful that it's not just a select few have fallen short of the glory of God? All have fallen short of the glory of God. So it is a universal truth for everyone who hears it that we need the blood of Jesus Christ over our lives. Church, God is calling you to proclaim the gospel. He's calling you. Revelation 12:11 tells us, and they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their, what? Testimony. For they loved not their lives even unto death. They realized what God is calling them to is greater than any experience they can have on this earth. So as long as we live by the word of our testimony and the blood of the Lamb, then we don't love this life. We're looking forward to what God has for us. And so it really doesn't matter how people respond to what we say. The word of your testimony is your proclamation of how Jesus Christ has changed your life and his blood has covered your sins and set you free. That is how you overcome the enemy. I'm going to say those two things again. I want you to hear it. Because some of us struggle so much with Satan after us and attacking us. Listen to this again. The word of your testimony is your proclamation of how Jesus Christ has changed your life and his blood has covered your sins and set you free. That is how you overcome the enemy. The word of your testimony is also what compels other people to come. The Holy Spirit, he gives us this boldness to speak out about the saving work of Jesus Christ. It's not, hey, listen to me and everything I've accomplished in the last year. There's no power in that. There is power in the saving work of Jesus Christ and what he is able to do. Amen? That's where the true victory is. And I want this to be a lesson to you that is important to be able to articulate in your own life how Jesus Christ has changed you. That is vital. And how he has accomplished that work on the cross for you. Sometimes we hear these eloquent speakers and you're like, I can't even dare speak it out until I can say that. But here is the thing I know. The great thing about the gospel is that it is as mysterious as the curious mind needs it to be. And it's as simple as a simpler mind needs it to be. And God has this ability to reach hearts and minds, both deep and both pretty simple, that his word can penetrate that joint and marrow right to our hearts. I have been accused of being a deep thinker. It's shocking to some of you. And when I read the Gospels, I love the metaphorical language that Jesus uses, how he brings out this curiosity to people and it causes them to ask questions and know more and try and understand. But I also learned that as deep as a thinker as I am, and as much as I love metaphors, and I always love to preach in metaphor, and I loved there to be a little bit of mystery for it, what I recognized is it wasn't reaching my own sons. See, my sons have autism, and I learned something about them is that when they think, they don't think in the abstract, they think in the concrete. And so I realized that everything I understood and spoke to my spirit wasn't necessarily translating to them. And so I said, Lord, I need to be able to take this. I need to make it simple. I need to make it relatable and understandable and something that their mind can grab a hold of. And I'm so thankful for a God that can leave the most curious mind in awe of who he is. And I'm so thankful for God to make the gospel so simple that any mind can grasp it. I'm thankful for both. And some of you are like, Pastor, the gospel hasn't seemed so simple to me. I want to give you the gospel in its simplest form. Listen to Romans 5, 8 through 10. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more we shall be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. This message Peter was preaching on the day of Pentecost was working on the hearts of the multitude. And the Holy Spirit used Peter to speak, and the Holy Spirit was convicting the crowd at the same time under repentance. But there was something that was missing at the end of the message. And what needed to come and how the crowd could respond was what was needed. Then came an invitation. And this invitation was for a response and to see transformation in their lives. So I want you to listen to Acts 2, 37 through 41 as Peter kind of ends this. It says, now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, first off, who has heard the gospel and been cut to the heart? Isn't that just like God? Peter couldn't do it just with his words. It was the Spirit of God. And said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, listen to this. This didn't come in Peter's message. They were compelled to ask this question. They said, brothers, what shall we do? They're cut to the heart, and they're saying, we have to respond to this message. We killed Jesus Christ. We crucified him, and he died for us. What shall we do now? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized for every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. So those who received his word were baptized, and they were added that day about 3,000 souls. Peter did not know the work that the Holy Spirit was about to do, but he heard it in their response. What shall we do with this information? They were cut to the heart, and that is the work of the gospel. Listen to Hebrews 4:12. It says, for the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. So Peter proclaimed the gospel. He followed out that inkling of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit reached their heart. Church, the beginning steps of discipleship making started to take place. And this was the beginning of the early church revival. It wasn't resting alone on the shoulders of Peter. It was the apostles all serving in obedience to God to see thousands being reached for the gospel. And you want to know where it started? It started with them in the upper room for 10 days, waiting and waiting and waiting. God, pour out your spirit. God, come. Pastor Morris spoke to this a couple weeks ago. That takes sacrifice on our parts. That takes us being a living sacrifice to God. To say, God, I'm choosing to be used by you, and I am going to continue to seek you until you pour out your spirit upon me and use me to go bring your word to the nations. Here is the thing I want you to embrace. Our obedience and response to the Spirit is key for impact. When God is tugging on your heart, you respond. You say, God, I'm gonna follow that prompting. I'm gonna act on what you are doing inside of me. And what happens is, God is going to use you to speak out. And it is resting upon you to open the door for invitation for people to come into the kingdom of God. But if you read what Peter said, and I love this, because he gives them the promise in all of it. Did you hear this? He said, for the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off. Everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. So you and I, what we need to do is we need to live a compelling life. And it can't get compelling until we have allowed the Holy Spirit to just pour out upon us and change us. And then that's when true transformation begins to take place. So church, this is my charge to you today, and I know I've gone long. It's been a busy service, but I know I still have your attention, so I'm keeping you a little. Serve Christ, seek the Spirit. Serve Christ, seek the Spirit. And God is going to place you on mission. I want you to listen to Luke 14, 23 as you stand. Listen to Luke 14, 23. It says, and the master said to the servant, go out to the highways and hedges and compel people to come in that my house may be filled. God is wanting to fill his house, and he is calling you as his servants. He's saying, I want you to go out. I want you to be compelling. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to pray, and I want you to respond after I pray. And I'm going to give you what that response needs to be. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for everyone that's in this room right now. And God, that your spirit is stirring the hearts of your people, and you are just waiting, Lord, for us to respond. So God, I know you are working on hearts and minds right now. And God, I pray that we will not allow ourselves to keep sitting on that bench and saying, all right, Spirit, move me. Lord, we sense your move. We're going to demand our flesh respond to it. There is nothing more compelling than a person who is yielding themselves to the Holy Spirit, the servant of God. And today, this is an acknowledgement, yes, I need Jesus. So it could be an acknowledgement for salvation, but it's more than that. Pastor, I'm all in on serving Christ, and I need his spirit to pour out on me. I need to be able to walk in power. And so if you say today, Pastor, I want that. I need that. I want you to come up, and I want you to stand across the front of this altar area right now. Would you come? That's you. Praise God. When we step out is when the Spirit of God starts really stirring inside of us. This is a call to say, Lord, use me. And I want you to know you can keep coming if the Spirit prompts you. I want to share with you guys a story. I was in Waterloo, and there was a women's ministry that met every Tuesday at 9 o'clock. And they always invited me to come down, and I'm like, I'm not a lady. I don't belong here. But they're like, no, we want to feed you, and that contributed to a lot of weight gain. And it, you know, they were awesome. But one Tuesday, one of the women, and they all went to different churches. One of the women said, I have to tell you what the Spirit of God did in me Sunday. She said, the Spirit of God just fell upon the place and started ministering to us. And I just said, Lord, I'm yours to be used. She said, on the way home, I was driving by this park, and I saw a bunch of teenagers playing. And the Spirit of God said, I want you to stop, and I want you to minister to them. And she said, I argued with God because I promised I would never do that. And she said, the work the Spirit was doing on my heart, I could not keep going. I had to stop. She gets out of her car. And she tells them, God prompted me to stop and talk to you guys. And she gives them a message, much like Peter on the day of Pentecost. And that day, 20 teenagers in a park gave their life to Jesus Christ. I say all that to say, that same spirit rests on you. That same spirit rests on you. It's just saying, God, I choose to be used by you today. And so what I want you to do is I want you to just extend your hands up to God and church. I encourage you to do the same as well. And what we're going to do is we're going to pray the Spirit of God fall upon us, and that we sense and know that we are in and of his Spirit regularly, amen? That each day as we leave from here, as we wake up tomorrow, that the Spirit of God is ministering to us and directing us, leading us, and guiding us. So we're going to pray right now. Father God, I thank you for each and every person. I thank you for each and every person that is up here right now that, Lord, is calling out to you and saying, God, fill me with your Spirit. God, move upon me right now. Lord, as they are surrendering and yielding their hearts to you, God, you want to use us. Lord, you love hearts that say, God, use me. And God, I just pray that your Spirit will pour out and you will give them a message that needs to be spoken to a lost and dying world. And that, God, you are going to continue to stir their hearts and pour out your giftings upon your people that is going to tell of a mighty God, a powerful God that is living and active and working today. And so, God, I thank you for each and every soul that is up here that's saying, God, use me. Lord, you are going to pour out your calling upon their life and what you have for them, not only for the rest of their life, but maybe for this season, God. Lord, maybe it's just for today what you are calling them to. But Lord, I pray that they hear your voice. They know you are there and you are speaking. And that, Lord, they can step out in confidence and boldness of knowing that, God, it is you. And Lord, I pray that they go out and they see that, God, your mighty hand is working through them, God, and that you are continuing to just use and use and use. So, God, pour out your Spirit. And Lord, we say more. May we not be satisfied with just what you're doing in this room today, but God, may we not relent until we see you pouring out upon our lives. And so, God, I believe that in this place there is going to be infilling that takes place. God, we're going to hear in this room people that are coming back to church that say, you will never believe what God did in me this week. And they're going to testify to the Spirit falling upon them. And God, you are going to pour out your Spirit and you are going to give them giftings to reach this world. And so, Lord, I thank you for willing hearts and people that are saying, here I am, Lord, send me, use me. Spirit, speak right now. Lord, pour out your identity upon your sons and daughters. Let them see that you are with them, Father. May they not let go of the things of you, God. May they hold on to your truth. And Lord, when they speak, may it be saturated by the presence of your Holy Spirit. God, quicken their hearts to speak out the word that you have placed within. That God, when we commit this to memory, Lord, it'll be at the forefront of our mind when we proclaim what your Son, Jesus Christ, has done. I thank you and praise you. God, we cannot. God, we can't be satisfied with living the same ordinary life. Lord, I'm tired of the mundane. God, make us compelling people. Speak to us and through us. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.